The Office of Personnel Management says it's investigating the cyber breaches that allowed the loss of information of millions of federal employees. Major General Dale Myeros, U.S. Air Force retired, former Chief Information Officer at the Office of the Director of National Intelligence and President now of the Myeros Group, is looking at what comes next after these breaches. General, it's a pleasure to have you on the program, not necessarily specifically about OPM, but about a breach like this in general. What's the level of certainty that one can reach in attributing the attack to one organization or another? Thanks for your time today.
You bet, Francis. Happy to be here. Over time, there's a great deal of certainty when it comes to the business of attribution. There are patterns, techniques, and sophistication that create cyber signatures that are definitely attributable. Levels of sophistication that are very high means that you're not going to have amateurs and things like that. However, the problem is that I call it the fog of cyber operations, and that there are multiple actors. And so there may be a major perpetrator, but there are other folks in cyberspace that will exploit, hide themselves behind the action of others, and all those kinds of things. The thing that we tend to forget is that investigations take time, expertise, and resources. And sometimes our impatience gets the best of us.
There's a lot of impatience, as you can probably imagine, in Washington right now, with people saying, let us know what has been taken and let us know what we need to do to try to protect ourselves. And it strikes me that based on those comments, patience, as difficult as it may be, given what was apparently taken here, is still probably the best course.
Yep, I agree. I believe that the folks who took this information found the holy grail of information. As you and I have talked before, the number of records in a breach, I think, is a red herring, but it's something that people can put in a headline and get mileage out of, but it really doesn't mean much. When you get information as rich and as complete as this, that's the holy grail. And I think that our government employees are, have a lot to be fearful or worry of. There were 61,000 documented breaches in the United States government just last year. So this is definitely a problem that is growing and that we need to address very directly.
So the attribution from just about everyone has been to China, So let's say that that's the case. Let's say that an organization inside China is identified as the perpetrator of the OPM attack. Now that we know that, what good does that do us if we don't intend to do something, in, say, a conflict scenario where it's us against them and they do something to us, we do something to them? What's the benefit if we're not going to do that to knowing who did it?
Sure. Well, to date, about 70% of the cybercrime is attributable to China or China-trained surrogates. So clearly, that is a problem of continuing concern. But we often talk in terms of return fire or hack back or those kinds of things, and I think that is a false premise. It is wrong for us to think that because we had a cyber action against us, that only elicits a cyber response. There are all kinds of diplomatic, economic, political, and military options in response to some sort of cyber action. Just like in response to a military action, we don't always take a military reaction. Sometimes we'll do a diplomatic, political, economic, or some other type of national power. We can do such things as restrict foreign students, kick them out, trade provisions, treaty provisions, embargoes, travel restrictions, diplomatic access restrictions, all those other kinds of things. So when we're looking at doing something, I think it's wrong for us to narrow in that says, since they did something cyber to us, we need to do something cyber to them. No, if they did something that holds something that we believe of value, whether it's cyber or not, we ought to look at the full range of options to hold something that they value hostage as well.
That's a terrific way to look at it, I think, because I thought back over the weekend to the Cold War. And had we discovered during the Cold War a Soviet spy who had managed to physically get his way into a federal agency and take pictures of hundreds of documents or whatever the capacity would have been for someone to do that individually, we would not have necessarily set about the business based on that incident of trying to get into a building in the Kremlin and take pictures of records. There would have been some maybe commensurate activity, or maybe there would have been no direct response to that incident in and of itself, because it was kind of implicit during the Cold War that we were trying to do everything to them that they were trying to do to us. And I certainly don't expect you to comment on the possibility of that today, but it speaks to the idea, I guess, of what happened to us doesn't necessarily happen for them, for things to be, and I'm using air quotes around this word, equal.
Sure, absolutely. You know, we talk oftentimes in national security about proportionate response. And so oftentimes when I hear about cyber attacks and, you know, hackbacks or all that kind of good stuff, you know, I just think it's a little too narrow, maybe even sophomoric, to say that since your computer attacked my computer, my computer is going to attack your computer. And I just think that's way, way too narrow to think about the issue.
The essence of this then becomes, I guess, back to what everybody has been focused on, especially Congress, which is how do we prevent something like this from happening again? It strikes me that it's never too late. It's never a good idea to say, well, they got everything, the Holy Grail, as you describe it, so we should just give up. That's not reasonable. And yet, we see that, at least so far, the response appears to be that that OPM is struggling to be able to explain exactly what's going on and what they intend to do about it.
Yeah, I agree. So I've come to believe that too much of our U.S. government cyber policy is based upon an old approach. Matter of fact, maybe even a decade-old approach. And it's an approach that is based on intrusion detection signature-based threats. And the first premise of an intrusion detection signature-based threat is that it has to come from a known threat. And so if it comes from an unknown threat, then the traditional cybersecurity things, in fact, don't work. And in fact, most of those intrusion detection cyber-based traditional security systems don't take into account malware. Don't take into account the human error or the fact that phishing attacks get people to give up their credentials and things like that. Giving up credentials, human error, web applications, and email account for 90%+ of all U.S. government for the initiation of all U.S. government intrusions. So in essence, we're fighting the enemy from inside the firewall, not fighting the enemy, if you will, outside the firewall.
Is it possible then that an event like the OPM intrusion feeds that narrative and distracts people from that 90% to focus on the 10%, General?
Oh, I absolutely believe that. And so I've come up with another thing. I don't claim, you know, authorship of it. It's what I've pieced together of what I think other people are saying, is we need to change our philosophy away from protecting computer systems and networks and more towards protecting activity and people. And so when you look at that, then you look at the role that the computer system or the network plays in the activity of your organization, because you're looking at protecting the activity. And when you do that, you tend to focus on things of value, not things of reaction in a technical way. You tend to focus on, you know, from the people side of it, the value side of it, instead of the technical side of it, which has always been a response and losing proposition.
Finally, General, what if we look at this, sit down and think about it a year or 2 years from now, and I'm referring to the OPM breach specifically, what do you hope the lessons are, at least conceptually, that we learn from it? Maybe we can't speak to specifics, but conceptually, what do you hope that we are doing better because of what happened at OPM?
Well, the first thing that I've heard a lot of people jump at OPM was that they had not implemented current direction, current guidance, current standards, and things like that fully. And so oftentimes I find that our human error or errors are because we don't even follow, you know, our own direction, our own standard, or whatever. And so the first is accountability. Accountability for keeping up on the requirements and the necessity and the need, and being accountable for keeping up on it, and moving more towards an identity management data centric protection architecture. I think will probably be the lessons that 1 or 2 years from now we'll wish we have learned.